Welcome to Younger and Older. This is Jason and Dave hanging out at the studios at Silver Birch Ranch in the Northwoods of Wisconsin. And we love getting together, having conversations. So if this is your first time listening to us, thanks for joining. And hopefully you can get challenged, encouraged. If you're a return listener, thanks for sticking in there and putting up with Dave all this time.
Now that we started videoing some of these, so some of you that really want to see our faces, we've had radio faces all of our life, and now
people actually get to see it.
They get to
and
see
if
it.
You don't know that we started videoing these, head over to YouTube and search Younger and Older, and you probably will find it. But it's also hosted on Nicolay Bible Institute channel on YouTube. So feel free to check that out. Nicolay Bible Institute is one of our ministries here at Silver Birch Ranch. It's a one-year Bible college program that we host. And it's more than just a college program. It's academic. It's learning how to serve. And it's also establishing your relationship with God, all packed into a year on the campus of Silver Birch Ranch. So you get to be exposed to camping ministry. You get to be exposed to doing life in a small knit community in the middle of the North Woods. But then you also get exposed to some of the academic side. And the academics, the cool thing is, you get 36 credits that transfer to a list of other institutions.
That's right.
So you get to do really your first year of college for a whole lot cheaper, and in a way that will give you a foundation to go and be a launching pad for whatever you want to do in life. It's not necessarily just if you want to get into ministry. It's really just to establish your own walk with God, to solidify what you know, your relationship with who He is, and help you get set up so that way you can effectively go and continue that relationship with who God is. So
I already say there's two classes of young people that need to come to MBI. Those who know what they want to do and those who don't know what they want to do.
There you go. That's right.
Because if you know what you want to do, you need to be prepared to know God's word, how you work in that environment as a believer. You need to know how to serve. So if you say, I know I want to be a plumber, then you should spend a year at Nicolay Bible Institute preparing so that when you're a plumber, you represent Christ well.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what to do, you too should come.
Yes.
Because of the fact that while you're there, you spend more time in God's word. You'll spend time searching and figuring out your talents and abilities, and maybe God will give you this idea of where you need to head after that. So if you're in one of those two categories, if you know where you want to go or you don't know where you want to go, you qualify.
Yep.
So I want you to go look up NicolayBibleInstitute.org,
correct? Yes,
correct. And come and join us for a while.
Yes. And then you can maybe even have a chance to be on this program.
That's right. If you come to Nicolay Bible Institute and you want to be on this program, we'll put you on.
That's right.
So unless you don't talk.
Unless you don't have a radio face.
Yeah, you got to have a radio face. That shows the differences in younger or older, though. For me, I have no idea why we're filming this.
Yeah.
So that's my take. But younger and older. Older says we don't need to film it. Younger says we need to film it. So that's why we film it, because it's part of the agreement here with the people who are not my age.
I mean, it's almost we started this program, 5 years ago? You know, it's almost getting to the point of we should call it like
older, like older.
Older middle.
Yeah, there you go.
Because there's a whole nother.
Well, and the funny thing is, every once in a while,
generation underneath me.
Yeah, I'll interview somebody older than me, and I'm the younger.
Right.
So,
yeah, absolutely.
Either way. I want to read, we're talking about responsibility. If you haven't been following younger, older, last program we did, we were talking about responsibility. Mm-hmm. We have responsibility. And I'm afraid that in our culture today, people are running away from their responsibility. For example, if Jason and I were younger and we were in high school together.
I am young, Dave.
I know you are. But let's say we're in high school together.
Okay.
And I see that you're doing things that are harmful to you. Like I might see you're messing with illegal drugs. You're doing something that's really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm your friend, I don't know what my responsibility is. Well, I would say my responsibility, if I want to use that word, is to go after you.
Yes.
With everything I've got.
Yeah.
Now, that could mean that I go talk to your parents.
Mm-hmm.
It could mean that if you're doing something illegal, I go talk to the police. I mean, I want you to stop.
Yeah.
Now, it could, you know, first and foremost, I'll go talk to you. Mm-hmm. And so you got to stop this. Why? Because you're a friend. See, I'm taking the personal responsibility to say I am going to do what I can to help you stop this.
Yes.
And I think that there are so many today that are watching people destroy themselves, and they're not doing anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
They lack the personal responsibility we're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't think if you can watch your friend destroy themselves and you see it day in, day out, you're not a good friend by watching them and allowing them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you need to step it up and begin. Talk to your pastor. Talk to, if you know something's going on and someone's saying, I don't want anyone else to know, maybe somebody else needs to know.
Yeah.
Have you ever had somebody come to you and say, I'm going to tell you something, but I don't want you to tell anyone?
Yeah.
Whenever someone comes and tells me that, I don't make that promise.
Right.
Because I think being responsible, if you're going to tell me something, let's say you're going to tell me you're married or something, and you're going to tell me your husband or your wife is abusing you of some sort, don't tell me not to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a friend and as someone who understands responsibility, I need to at that particular moment. So I'd love those that are listening to understand you have a certain responsibility to your friends. Let me read something from you. Galatians chapter 6, starting with the first verse. I'll read a few verses here. It says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself. Of course, my computer just
locked on you.
It just timed out.
How
about
that?
Isn't that perfect timing? Where was I? I'll start over. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, so to fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Mm-hmm. Now, let me help pick this apart a little bit. Some people are thinking, wow, you boast about on yourself. No, it's really easy. When you look at life, the way we're living it, you have people in your life, and you're close to them. They're your friends. You know what they're doing. They're not doing what they should do. You, at this particular moment, see they're not doing what they should do, and you're doing what's right at this moment.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you always do what's right. Some people, when they help somebody else, they go, who do you think you are? No, you just happen to be another sinner that saw somebody trying to destroy themselves, and you know they're trying to destroy themselves, even though they don't know it, so you need to step up to the plate and talk to them about it. What's being said here is we have the responsibility to bear one another's burdens. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why this person is doing that. Let's go talk to them.
Yeah.
Why are you acting this way? What are you doing? Why are you living in this manner?
Mm-hmm.
So when that responsibility comes, now this is not about opinions. You might be thinking, yeah, I'm a Democrat and I have a Republican friend. I got to go after him. It's not what I'm talking about.
Right.
We're talking about people who are living in sin. We're talking about people who are violating the laws of the land, possibly.
Right.
People who are hurting themselves. There are so many times where there's a disaster that happens. And the kids that gather around the friend that had the disaster, they all knew what was going on. And nobody lifted a finger to stop it.
Yeah.
And I would say that each of you then becomes somewhat responsible for that because you didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You just watched them go downhill. The other thing is sometimes, and we're being warned about it here in Galatians, sometimes we look at somebody else's life and we start judging our life by it.
Mm-hmm.
So we say, well, you know me, I don't do drugs like this person does drugs, so we feel better about ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, every single human is sinful, and every single human will give an account for their life to God.
Yeah.
And so what you need to understand is that I need to bear my own burdens as well. I need to look at myself. I need to understand that my sin is also available in life where it's destroying me and maybe those around me, and check your own life out.
Mm-hmm.
You're responsible for checking yourself, and you're responsible for being a good friend to your friends.
Right.
And if you're going to be responsible with sin, you realize that the thing you need to do is you need to confess it.
Mm-hmm.
You need to say it's wrong.
Yeah.
Therefore, if you see real sin in somebody else, the goal is to get your friend to say that's wrong.
Right.
And that's not always comfortable.
Right. And the way you do it isn't in a very domineering sense.
No.
You know, I mean, there's a key word in there, you know, in verse one, it says gentleness.
Gentleness.
You know, and so that's the approach you take. It's not to come in and be like, well, I'm better than you.
Right.
It's like, no, it's like we need to do this together. That's why it says bear one another's burdens. You know, it's everybody has burdens. And so, You know, it's like if I were to go with you, Dave, you know, we could bear each other's burdens. You struggle with something, I struggle with something. That's how we do it.
That's
and
right.
We do it in a humble way where it's like, you know what, this is how we need to do this, you know, and that's how we do it together. I mean, you look at even the way that Jesus modeled it with the disciples, you know, is like he created this core group that he was trying to say, hey, you know, let's bear these burdens together.
Yeah, and you know, the warning in here in verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens, okay? But the third verse says, for if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself.
Yeah.
So there's this warning that basically says, I know the human spirit.
Yes.
You're going to look at somebody and go, I'm superior to you because I don't do marijuana or whatever. I don't do drugs that are illegal. I know people, it's legal in some states. But I don't do what you do. So now we start feeling better about ourselves. That's not why you correct somebody, because there's a hierarchy and you feel better about yourself. Mm-hmm. Remember, we do things because we care for people. So you see somebody doing something they shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's wrong, regardless. It's not stuff like politics. It's not who's better in the president's office. That stuff that's going to be opinions and debated forever.
Yeah.
But you know there's some moral issues or there's some things that they're violating that you know they're hurting themselves. They're hurting their relationship, whether they be a married person or they're hurting their relationship as a child in a home. You're their friend.
Right.
Be responsible.
Right.
Go talk to them.
100%. You know, it's the sort of thing, like if you were to think about your closest relationships right now, and if you even are flirting with, you know, well, maybe I should say something to them. If you ever in a situation where like if they were to be gone tomorrow, is there anything that today you would say to them that you, if they were gone tomorrow, you meant, oh, I wish I shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Right.
Then say it to them. Those are the things that we're talking about. Why? Because you're caring for them. You're loving them. And God put that notion in you because that's how he's designed us to do. He's designed us to bear one another's burdens and help us, you know, as iron sharpens iron.
Right.
You know, help us, you know, because like it says in verse 2, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're all striving to be Christ-like in this, you know, and we're doing it together as sinful humans, you know, that are redeemed through Christ.
Absolutely. Well, you're a parent. You have three sons.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Now, some children grow up in homes, and they're very good at putting on an act for mom and dad.
Oh, yeah. A lot of children.
Yeah. We know how to do it. All of us were children that are older, and we all know what we could do to fool mom and dad. You know, you don't tell dad this, you tell mom that. You don't tell mom that, you tell dad this. You know, you learn how to play the game.
Totally. Well, it's not even within just a parent context. I mean, I think people learn how to do that all over the place.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, but.
Yeah. But the bottom line really is, so you have three boys. Think of how you would feel if somebody came to you one day and said, you know what, I've talked to your oldest son. I just want you to know he's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be happy or angry with that person?
I'd be appreciative.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be happy.
Because then now you can do something.
Right.
And that's your job.
Absolutely.
And you need to be a responsible parent.
Yes.
So being responsible as a friend means you can go to a responsible parent. If somebody ever comes to you and wants to just tell you something about one of your kids, you'd be wise to let them talk to you and just let it go.
Yeah.
Because the reason people would be afraid to talk to a parent of a friend is because the parent might defend them and say, well, you're a bum anyway. What are you talking about? You know, you kick cats or something. Or you eat peeps.
Right.
You know, so I'm not listening to you. And if that's the case, okay, then that parent doesn't want to have any dialogue anyway.
Right.
But first, you always go to the person. If you've gone to the friend and you said, hey, you got to stop this.
Right.
You know, I've done this before with people where I've said, you know, they're young people, and I said, you really need to fix this.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. I said, well, here's the deal. I will let you talk to your parents about it, but if you don't do that in a week, I'm going to.
Yeah.
That's a good piece of responsibility right
Absolutely,
there.
Yeah.
Now what I've done is I put it back on the person, and I'm not going to be the bad guy.
Right.
But I do know that the parents need to know about this because this is a minor that needs help.
Yeah.
And it's being hidden from mom and dad. So I'm going to be responsible now as a friend and say, I'll give you a week.
Yeah.
And either you talk to them or I will, or right. somebody else that's an authority. Mm-hmm. You know, it might be. And then you're being somewhat responsible to help that person. Indeed, that person may be mad at you for a while.
Yeah.
That may happen. Because what happens is they entrusted you to be irresponsible.
Yeah.
When you look at friendship today, friendship doesn't mean that you don't say anything to anybody about anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's not friendship. And if you have that kind of arrangement with somebody, that's what you have. You have an arrangement. You don't have a commitment to each other.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a commitment to a friend, that means you're always going to do what you can to help that person be the best they can.
Yeah.
That, in some ways, that's why I'm glad I played sports in college, and specifically football in college. The coaches actually told you what you needed to do to improve. They didn't lie.
Right.
Like, you made a bad block or you made a bad whatever you were doing. They didn't come over and say, well, that wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
No, they come over and say, that was wrong.
Yeah.
And you look at them and go, but coach, no, it was wrong. Don't do that again.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting there thinking, well, you got nerve.
Yeah.
No, you're saying, okay, you're right. It yeah. was wrong. What do I need to do to correct it? I wish that friendships, relationships were more like athletics in that mm-hmm. sense. The coach isn't going to lie to you and say, that was a great block when it was terrible.
Yeah.
In fact, you better not have much of an ego at that point, because the coach is going to say, that was sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
You can do better than that. Get out there. Move that leg over there first instead of that one. Otherwise, you're going to get knocked down every single time, and you know better than that. Well, all right. Already I'm mad,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I did something sloppy. He identified it. He knows what he saw.
Yeah.
And he actually held me accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't see that in a lot of friendships. You know, off the field, it seems like that's not acceptable.
Yeah.
But it probably should be. For each one will have to bear his own load. When I stand before God, God isn't going to have me stand accountable for you. He's going to have me stand accountable for what I did with what I knew.
Yeah.
And if I knew something about you, it's not you that I have to be accountable for.
Mm-hmm.
It's the information that I know.
Yeah.
And sometimes what people need to realize is that the more information I get on something, the more responsible I need to be.
Right.
So if I know a lot about something and I'm with somebody who doesn't know much about it, I need to be the responsible person and help grow them and help them. That's being responsible.
Yeah.
We talked about that in our last program. But I know I've read a lot of commentators on this section, and Spurgeon's one of my favorite. He was just talking about, you know, what we don't realize is that really we're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
We're all the same. We're all sinful. We all need help. We all need to be around people who care for us. We all have
right.
blind spots. We
mm-hmm.
have, everybody in the world does. So when we help somebody, it's one leper helping another kind of thing. You're out there helping each other. You can't get proud about it.
Right.
Because, and that's what this passage is talking about.
Right.
However, you did use the information responsibly.
Mm-hmm.
So my question would be, how do you use it irresponsibly? If I have information on you,
yeah,
how would I use that information irresponsibly?
Oh, you could, you know, use it to harm me.
I could gossip.
Right. Yeah, you could tell other people. You could tell everybody but me about it.
Yep. Now that's sin.
Yeah.
That's outright banned in the scriptures.
Yeah.
So if I talk about you to somebody else.
Yeah.
The right way to do it, the responsible way to do it, is talk to you.
Right.
And tell you the next step.
Yeah.
If you're not going to respond. Or to even say, if you're going to do this, you know, I think friendship should be where you can tell somebody, if you're going to do this, I don't want to be around you.
Yeah.
I don't want to be around this.
Yep.
This is not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good friend, not a bad friend.
Yeah,
not
100%.
One that looks the other way. So we need to redefine that. But if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But each one tests his own work and then has reason to boast. If he boasts, he does it himself. If he says, I did something right, it's because I used the information correctly.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't because I'm better than you.
Yeah.
And realize that I will have to give an account for that. Let the one who is taught, look at verse 6, and there says, let the one who is taught the word, you know what the next phrase is on that?
Mm-mm.
Share all good things with the one he teaches.
Mm.
The responsibility again.
Yep.
Once you learn something,
you got to share it.
You got to share it.
Yep.
So you learn something about your friend.
Yeah.
Share it. Now, here's where in a human way, it could get irritating.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because, again, I think we don't discern well enough sometimes the things that we really need to care about and things we don't.
Yeah.
You know, the type of coffee you drink, the way you filter it, the way you grind it. I'm not 100% sure. You know, if you found a really great method, go ahead and share that. But mm-hmm. if somebody says, I disagree, those are methods that you don't need to argue about.
Right.
Those
agree.
Are things.
Yeah.
That's not absolutes. But when you look at, if you learn something in God's word, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Share it with those you love.
Yeah.
How often do people who are just friends share what God is doing in their life?
I would say not very often.
No. They get together. I watch young Christian people all the time, and if they get together, very few of them say, hey, what are you learning today?
Right.
What would it take for anybody to set up a platform for sharing? I mean, in their life, to make it a normative habit. You know, if you've got a friend, you set it up so that, hey, what'd you learn today? That may be you haven't seen them or whatever for a couple days. You see them, you go, hey, what are you learning?
Mm-hmm.
And let them share that with you.
Yeah.
And then you ask them back, what are you learning? Oh, yeah, okay. Now you've set up a healthy environment for sharing. I remember, actually, that happened up here. There was a good friend of mine, and we were working with the horses, and we'd go in the canteen, the old canteen, and we'd sit at night. And a lot of times what would happen there is we'd start talking about what we read in the morning.
Yeah.
We just start sharing.
Yep.
Now, those days were ancient days. By that, I mean, we didn't have radios, no televisions up here. There was absolutely nothing to do other than sit and look at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the greatest days, I think, in my life, because all that stuff was absent.
Yeah.
And I remember guys just sitting. I still remember sitting one day, and my friend said, you know, this verse and this psalm where God separates our sins as far as the east is from the west, I've just been thinking about that and how precious that is. And I'm thinking, here a bunch of high school kids are talking like that.
Yeah.
We didn't have all the distractions. We knew that we were learning something. We wanted to see what other people were learning. And that little group to this day has all been serving the Lord in places.
Right.
And so I think we need to be responsible for each one who bears his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches.
Yeah.
Do not be deceived. God isn't mocked. For whatever one sows, then he will also reap. You know, if you're all about yourself, so you're the only reason why you wouldn't help somebody through a messy situation is because you're about yourself.
Mm.
Well, that's not the right motive at that point.
Right.
You're going to get, you know, don't be deceived. God isn't mocked. What you sow, you're going to reap.
Yeah.
If you don't care about others, others probably won't care about you either. If you're in a relationship where you can't talk to people about what they're doing and you can't be honest with them, then you have to remember something. Those people aren't talking to you about what you're doing,
right.
And they're not honest with you either.
Yeah.
So now you have trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I would be very careful to set up your friendships in a way where you have at least one good friend that, you know, you're in high school now, you're in grade school, whatever it might be. You have one good friend that you agree is going to be honest with, and that you will help each other throughout your life.
Yeah.
Then after you really practice this on one, get another one.
Yeah.
Have three people in that group. You practice that, get another one in there. And before you know it, you've created a normative of a friendship group that is going to be much healthier because you have people who will hold each other accountable.
Yeah.
And I tell you what will happen. People will get mad at each other. They'll get out of the group and in the group because that's the way we are as people. They didn't want you to pry into their life. They'll call you judgmental. And you might be.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be judgmental. If somebody says you're judging, you need to step back and say, am I?
Right.
Am I really judgmental? Judgmental has to do with more with motive than it does with action.
Yeah.
So I might come to you and say, you know, why did you drink 8 smoothies? You know, you're a pig, you know, kind of thing. And realize, oh, you didn't. You gave 7 smoothies to the poor. You just walked out with them.
Right.
So judgment is like, I'm trying to figure out why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Where when you help somebody, the thing you want to do is make sure you know God's word and you're not judging them if you tell them they shouldn't lie. Mm-hmm. You're not judging them if you tell them they shouldn't commit sexual sin. You're not judging them at that point.
Yeah.
You're saying something God says. That's not judgmental. That's something you're trying to help them with.
Right. Right.
So,
and always do it in a sense of gentleness, you know, and I think that even plays in that judgmental thing. It all comes across in the way that you're doing it. If you truly are caring for and loving for the person, you do it in a way that's responsive.
Right.
You know, because it's going to be mutual.
Yeah.
You know, and so you're going to want them to approach you in a way that is gentle and understanding.
That's right.
Why it's important. I would even take it further, not only just have somebody that's your age, but I would even put somebody that you could look up to, that you could be honest with, that can ask you the hard questions sometimes and point out the hard things, you know, and that way they can mentor you and encourage you, because then they've even done some more life and can offer wisdom into the situations that you're going through or things that you're struggling with.
Yeah, they may see it clearly where you don't.
Yeah.
And always remember, those who have taught you, you share with them too.
Yeah.
In other words, if people go out of their way to care for you that way, you go out of your way to make sure their needs are met as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what, you know, the sharing thing, if you haven't gotten it, the responsibility thing we're talking about is constantly, no matter what end of the spectrum you're on, you're thinking, what can I do back? What can I do for this person? And that's really what let the one be taught, share all good things with the one who teaches. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we need to be people who are responsible in life, and responsibility cures a whole bunch of ills.
Yeah.
It really does. Irresponsible people gossip.
Yep.
They slander. They talk about others with others. And they think they're even doing it in the light of, let's pray for them or whatever it might be. If you're not talking to the person and you're not trying to fix it in a way that is gentle and shows some caring, then you're probably going to mess it all up.
Yeah.
And that's where the church, I think, gets a bad reputation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I fully agree. And so I just encourage you to look at ways that you can actually start putting this into action, you know, because like we talked about in the previous episode, and even this episode, this whole concept of personal responsibility, you know, as we grow closer to becoming more like Christ, it takes effort on our end. You know, if we were just to sit there and do nothing, then we're not going to grow. In order to grow, you have to do something.
Right.
And part of that is investing into other people around you that you're doing life with, that you could be honest with and be open with and bear each other's burdens, just like it says here in Galatians chapter 6. And so I encourage you to look for a relationship in your life that you could do that with and start doing it with, and just be vulnerable, because I guarantee you that God will use that in massive ways. Unfortunately, we're out of time on this episode of Younger and Older. Tune in next time. This is Jason and Dave. Take care. See you next time. Bye-bye.